DJ Clips, Rap City, let's go. The Wilson Rush Podcast. With your host, Wilson Rush. Also with T-Lip, Far Wilson, and C-Rush. What up, Detroit? 7 miles. Rev City, your world. DJ Clips. We the best, the Chemist Music Group.
Yes, sir. Hopefully everyone's having a good Tuesday night. Wilson Rush Podcast at it again. We got the usual suspects. C-Rush, T-Will in the building. C-Rush, man, how's it going?
Hey, you know, man, it's nothing but a beautiful day here in Detroit. The Tigers about to clinch. Michigan won. Michigan State lost. Very good weekend for me, so I'm ready to get after it today.
Yeah, we definitely got a good show. But T-Will, before we get started, man, how you feeling?
Man, feeling pretty good, fine. Just sitting back here, man. And we're in the midst of football season, guys, college and NFL. So, hey, I'm loving it right now.
Yeah, we had a rough pick 'em last week. T-Will and myself, we went 1-2 with the college picks. So we'll have our new batch today. And then we're going to preview that Ohio State, Wisconsin. They're going to start the Big Ten season out with a bang against each other. And we got to go Lions recap, big road win in Washington. We haven't won there, so that was good to see the team go out and get it done, especially without Mr. Bush. But T-Will, I'm gonna start with you, and you know we're starting at today, man. And I'm nervous. Michigan, another bad game. We're undefeated. It feels like we got two losses. T-Will, last week you told the listeners, you said, "Hey, it was a wake up call. We're gonna be okay." But now, are you concerned?
Yeah, I'm a tad bit concerned, Fine. Couple things. One thing that you stated, first off, Fine, is you wanted to see how this Michigan team played on the road. I'm glad we had UConn, because if we had anyone tougher than UConn, guys, we might be sitting back here with one loss. So, we had some bad decision making in that game, Fine. We had some bad decision making by Devin Gardner. Our defense, they had a chance to stop UConn, and we didn't stop some drives, and it turned into points. So I believe it was the environment, but also at the same time, too, guys, the decision-making and key players on our team. You know, Devin Gardner, you know, he still had a few interceptions. I think he may be leading college football in interceptions right now. So it's been a rough start for him as far as taking care of the ball. And in any sport, you know, you can't have turnovers, you know, especially on the road. You know, if you have turnovers on the road, you make it that much tougher for you. So for right now, Fine, I have to say it's our decision-making. We have to make better decisions with the ball, and our defense has to make stops on key drives, man.
Yeah, T-Will, I got to be honest with you. I know we're turning the ball over a little too much, and you said it right. Thank God we was playing UConn. I mean, because you could just see the game, even when we went down 21-7, they were just that bad. They committed penalties, and you just kind of say, okay, we're going to get out of here with a win because they're just that bad. But, T-Will, I want to know if you're seeing the same thing that I'm seeing. Obviously, it's turnovers. But, T, I know a lot of people don't like to talk about Brady Hoke because he's a Michigan guy. You know, Rich Rodriguez was from the outside. Every time he did something wrong, you know, people attacked him. But I got to be honest, T, I'm starting to see some lack of motivation there for the kids responding to the coaches. Are you seeing that, or do you just think that, you know, it's the turnovers that's really killing us?
No, I think it's the turnovers that's killing us. I don't think there's no lack of motivation there, Fine. The reason I don't think it's lack of motivation, guys, is because realistically, I don't think this group of kids needs too much motivation. You know, most of these, well, not most of them, but some of these kids were there during the Rich Rod era, okay? And they played at Michigan under this, you know, so-called Rich Rod era. So basically, they understand where Michigan was and where Michigan is now. So I don't think they need too much motivation. And as far as talent-wise goes, I mean, we have talent at every position. So if you're not motivated to do your job, you know, it's a guy behind you that can do your job, you know, just as well. So I don't think motivation is an issue. I think Brady Hoke and his staff is doing a pretty good job. What I do think they need to do is make some minor adjustments to their game plan. I do think they put the ball in Devin's hands a lot early on in the game. I think they should try to establish more of a ground game. You see a lot of Toussaint in the game. But I think we should see a little bit more of that freshman, you know, Derrick Green. You know, try to get a 1-2 punch established. You know, try to get that trademark Michigan run game going. And, you know, and work in that play-action pass, you know, so the decision-making process is a lot easier for Devin.
Yeah, T. Will. I mean, obviously we got to clean some things up. But see, Rush, I want to throw this thing to you, and I want to be clear, and I want to be very clear on this, why I say I see a lack of motivation. The reason why is pretty simple. If you play and perform the way you did at Akron, and we sneak out with a win, okay, wake up call, beautiful. Man, let's not get it twisted here, see, Rush. UConn lost to a 1AA school, and then we go out and we perform like that again. So see, Rush, what are you seeing in this group?
Well, to piggyback off what you're saying, it's a trend with this group. We almost lost to a team who hadn't won a road game all last year, and then we come out flat against a 0-2 UConn team. Granted, it's our first road game. It's a different environment other than the big house, but you're still supposed to come out with a chip on your shoulder because you are the superior team. You are Michigan, and, you know, as a coach, it's only so much you can do to motivate your players. Now, he's going to have to figure some stuff out before we go back on the road again. But what I'm seeing is our front line, offensive and defensive, is not getting the job done. We run two east and west, not enough north and south. I mean, with the offensive line that we have, we shouldn't be running stretch. We shouldn't be running speed option against teams like UConn, Akron. When they're getting a bigger push than us, that's a bad thing. When the defensive line can't get pressure on the quarterback with just four against Akron or UConn, that's a terrible thing. You know, the Notre Dame game, I chalked it up as, well, they're coming off a national championship game appearance, and they have a great defensive line. They have a great offensive line. That's what I was chalking it up to. But these past two games, it seems like we're not getting the push that we need, and it's falling on Devin now that he's trying to do too much. You know what I'm noticing out of him is every time he leaves the pocket, he spins out a way that he doesn't need to. So he has happy feet back there, but you know that comes from that front line, and also with him trying to force the action too much. But our front four is getting dominated. Front four, front five is getting dominated off the ball, and when you're getting dominated off the ball against Akron and UConn, that's not a good thing going ahead.
Now, see, Rush, now, here's my thing about the Michigan situation. Now, do you think that we have, because we see teams like this that only get up for the big games, for the big teams. Do you think that this is the case of Michigan, or do you just think we've just been lousy the last 2 weeks?
I think we've just been lousy the past 2 weeks, you know, and it's a combination of what you're saying. I understand what you're saying as far as Brady motivating these guys, but it's like I said, it's a fact that when you're getting blown up off the ball, it's man on man, and you're not winning that battle. It's not, you know, you can get Vince Lombardi out here, and he can't motivate nobody if you're getting blown up the ball like that. So I understand we have a brand new line, yada, yada, yada. But you can't lose these battles to these inferior teams up front, in my opinion. And maybe that does fall along Brady. Maybe he does need to be more vocal. Maybe he does need to switch up the offensive line a little bit. But that's just what I'm seeing as far as the game plan goes. You have to be able to win that battle up front. And we all know this in any football game. You win that battle up front, you put yourself a step ahead of the other team.
T-Will, I want to ask you the same question because we see this, T-Will. We see teams that say, okay, Notre Dame, under the lights, you know, we play very well. If we play like we played last 2 weeks against Notre Dame, T, we'd have lost that game 50 to zip. So are we the type of team that we've just been lousy, or can we just not get up for Akron and UConn?
Well, I have to say the last 2 weeks we have been lousy, Fon. But, you know, are we a team that just gets up for big games? Who knows? You know, the season is still young. We're only, you know, 3 weeks into the college season. So going into week 4. So, I mean, you know, it's a young season. You know, we're only, you know, a quarter of the way through. It's a 12-game regular season. So we'll see. We'll see. I think in the next, you know, few games we'll really really see what type of team Michigan is. They'll really start to define their identity. They'll really start to hang their hat on something. So I believe after the next few weeks and once they start this Big Ten play, we'll see exactly what type of team they are, fine. If they just get up for the big games, or, you know, if Indiana or Minnesota comes to town, you know, if it's a, you know, if the game's within 3 points, you know, going down to the wire at the end, then, you know, maybe this is a team that doesn't, you know, get up for the smaller games or for the smaller opponents. So, I mean, only time will tell, and I think we'll see what type of team this is in the next few weeks.
Now, T-Will, we got a bye coming up. So do you think, because I usually get upset when I can't see Michigan and I got to wait 2 weeks. I usually get upset, but I'm actually happy because I think these little adjustments that you guys talk about, I think they'll be fixed. I think, you know, we'll clean it up. You know, Devin Gardner will stop being sloppy, and this is something that people forget. You know, yes, he's a redshirt junior, but he hasn't played quarterback the whole time. So, T-Will, do you think that this bye is coming at a perfect time like I do?
Couldn't be a better time, Fon. I mean, we came out 59-9 against Central Michigan. We had a close call against Notre Dame. We had a close call against Akron and a close call against UConn on the road. So now I think we get to go back and put some things on the table, look at some mistakes that were made and correct those. You know, I really do think this is the perfect time for a bye, Fon. I mean, right now, who know, if Michigan played next weekend and they had to come out and play a Wisconsin or one of the top teams in the Big Ten, guys, I'd really be scared, you know, because I don't know which Michigan team will show up. So I think this bye week will give my opportunity to rest up, to prepare, to correct some fundamentals, some mechanics, and to get ready for the Big Ten opener.
Yeah, see, I couldn't agree with you more, man. I usually get upset, like, oh my goodness, I can't see blue out there today. But it's like, man, we need to regroup, we need to fix these turnovers, and we need to play, you know, with some more excitement. And if I'm not mistaken, this might be the homecoming game. Minnesota's not very good. But, I mean, if we play like the last 2 weeks, I don't think we can beat anybody in the Big Ten. So I think we'll be back and we'll be ready to go. But, see, Rush, let's jump to you. And we went on a roll. And, first of all, I want to say this to the listeners out here. Since I've been born watching the Lions, I have never seen the Lions get this many breaks. I have never seen this in my life. No, see, Rush, I'm being honest with you. I've never seen so many penalties. RG3 breaks the defense down. He fumbles the ball instead of sliding. We get the ball. He throws a bomb. He takes the lead. All the Lions fans is like, here we go. Had the lead all game. Now we're not going to see it again. No catch. We win the game. We go for it on fourth down. Everybody's probably thinking like, okay, we're going to bobble this snap. Here it comes. We pick up the first down. I'm like, oh, my goodness, what is going on? I have never seen this in my life, C-Rush. Tell us what you seen in that game yesterday, please.
I don't think all three of us, I don't think anybody listening have seen this in their life, you know, going into Washington at least. Sometimes the tables turn, you know. In order to be good in any or have a great season, you got to have some luck on your side. And obviously we had that, you know, that catch that could have been. As many times it's been called against us, like the first week in the season this year and against Calvin 2 years ago, it had to go against somebody else, and glad it was the Redskins, you know. And just from a game plan standpoint, we did a great job, you know. And RG3 did get loose, but you know what? He dove head first, he fumbled, and, you know, before he would just probably score. We got the breaks off that one. So I think it's a positive thing for us as Lions fans, that we actually got that monkey off our back, that 74-year-old monkey off our back that we won in Washington, you know. And that actually is huge, because going into the season, you look at games, at key games that you have to win. That was a hungry Washington Redskins team who had playoff Super Bowl aspirations, as we said on the last podcast, and now we put them at 0-3. So now we got to step up on everybody in our division. One over Green Bay and three over Minnesota, and we're one game back behind Chicago. So it's a positive thing that we get these wins early. You know, games that before we may have lost. So I don't know if this is fool's gold, but I think that, we can close out games now. We can finish games. We can do what we have to do to win games. So I just like that, like the fact that we did it, and now we got Chicago coming to us next week.
Yeah, we'll get to that preview in a second, C-Rush. I mean, I agree. I mean, I was more excited about the breaks that we received than the actual game. I just couldn't believe it. Nothing ever goes our way. T-Will, what did you see, man?
Well, fine. Like you said, I mean, we went into Washington, and for as long as I could remember, every time we went into Washington, it almost wasn't even close. You know, Matthew Stafford started off the game with an interception, and I was thinking, like, you know what? Here we go again, you know. So, you know, just the course of the game, some of the, like you said, fine, the breaks that we got, it's a lot of times that Lions fans, I know they were sitting up and saying, okay, here we go, but it actually went our way. You know, and at the end of the game, we finally, Shane said, we got that monkey off our back. You know, and it felt good because to me it felt like a first. You know, it's the first time I seen us get breaks and win a game. And I thought we were over the hump. And then the next day, Nate Burleson goes and breaks his arm in a single car accident on 696, yeah, trying to hold a pizza from falling off his seat. You know, and guys, he's some very good pizza. You know, so you know, he was our, you know, he was the guy that was receiving single coverage, you know, opposite of Calvin, that was actually making catches. You know, Nate Burleson was leading the team in receptions. You know, so this is a huge loss for the Detroit Lions. You know, and really with no true number two to back him up. You know, I really thought we got over the hump on Sunday by beating the Redskins, and I thought we were moving on and progressing. But, you know, we just took a giant step back with this incident with Nate Burleson.
Now, first of all, T, I did read earlier that he just broke his arm, and I said, dang, I didn't click on it. I didn't read the details. So he was holding a pizza, and he didn't want it to spill.
Hot and ready.
He had a pizza on his passenger seat. And I guess he was hitting a curve on 696, and it was about to fall, and he wasn't having that. And he got into an accident by himself, you know. And you know, when that happens at 2 o'clock in the morning, first thing I'm thinking is, well, he clearly was drunk, but he was cleared of being any alcohol involved. You know, it was just one of those things that happened. Single car accident, broke his arm in two places.
So when you're about to hit the curb, your reaction is to grab the pizza, though? Okay. I mean, I've never been in that situation, so I'm not going to judge, but. I guess, see, if it was 2 o'clock in the morning, the pizza place was probably closed, and he was like, yeah. Forget that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I've been there, but I haven't crashed.
I feel you.
All right, so let's T. Will, I'll stick with you. Let's talk about the Bears game. I mean, I like these situations as a fan, T. Will, and I got to be honest. When all week, you know, you're one game back of an undefeated team, and they're coming to your place. Tell us what you expect to see in this situation, because I'm excited. You know, this is a chance to prove, to say, hey, we're better than you guys. We got a chance to prove that, because we got to be honest, T. We're probably not going to win that game in Chicago, so we need to get this one.
Oh, absolutely. We have to get this one. And guys, you guys know this, just like I do in any sport, basketball, football, there's a mental edge that your opponent may have over you. You know, whether someone checks you and this guy always rips you up, or this guy always blocks your shot, or whatever the case may be, that guy may have a mental edge over you. Guys, I'm telling you, this Detroit defense has to have a mental edge over Cutler, over Jay Cutler, just because of what they've done to him, how many hits they've gotten on him in the last few years. There's something in the back of his mind where he knows this front four is for real. You know, so I think defensively, we have a slight edge in Cutler's mind. You know, quarterbacks don't forget when they take those big hits. You know, you can ask any quarterback, hey, what was the biggest hit or the hardest hit you've taken? And they'll name off something in a game that we'd be like, man, really? You know, that game was a blowout, you know, but it sticks in their mind. And I think we have a mental edge over Cutler, guys. But offensively, you know, I expect us to play very well at home, you know, in front of that crowd. I think, you know, Reggie Bush, you know, be back. And guys, I really expect some big things. Now, my big question mark is, who's the number two receiver? you know, if we're going to use someone on our roster, or even if we bring in someone this week, I mean, how much can they really give us? You know, today it's already going to be Wednesday tomorrow. So, and we haven't signed anyone. So how much can they really give us by Sunday? So, I think Calvin just really – him and Tillman, you know, that matchup I look forward to seeing every time the Bears play us. But it's something about the Lions' offense against the Bears in Ford Field. I really love seeing that. And like I said, I think our defense has that mental edge over Cutler.
Yeah, I agree. I hope that plans out like that. See, Rush, we're going to go to you on this one. I've been telling everybody, I said, you know, the Bears got a CFL coach, man. He think he playing three downs. That's why he keeps scoring all his points, because we got to be honest, the Bears look good, C-Rush.
Yeah, they look real good, you know. And honestly, they're playing at a high level. You know, they went on the road last night into a crazy environment and came away with a win. But we did too. So I'm not discounting anything that they've done, but I'm going to stick with my guys. Like T-Will said, every time at home – we play Jay Cutler, we put hands on him, you know, and I believe even when we went there last year, it was a brawl. So these teams don't like each other, and that's how it should be, you know, because I don't like Chicago. So we're at home, first time being home in 2 weeks. I expect this game to be loud. I expect this game to be crazy, chippy, and that's the only thing that scares me about us. You know, when the crowd gets into it, we step over that line a little bit. You know, we'll Jay Cutler throw the ball to Brandon Marshall, somebody's come hit him in the mouth, not even tackle him. You know, just stuff that we may do sometimes. But, you know, I think we're going to come out. The game plan is going to be great. We got our explosive running back, and we do need a secondary receiver. That's something that's going to have to be addressed, whether we pull him up from the practice squad, somebody calls Terrell Owens, see where he's at, whatever the case may be. Because we know Peanut Tillman and Chet and Calvin Johnson are going to be on the island by themselves for the most part, you know. So that's now Fourier is going to have to step up. Ryan Broyles is going to finally have to play again. And, you know, that mystery man that we don't know about. But I really believe that our front four is putting pressure on people. Last week during the Redskins game, Ziggy Ansah, 2 sacks, 9 tackles. You know, that's what a first-round pick does. That's causing havoc on one of the most explosive quarterbacks in the NFL. So just imagine what he may do to the statue back there, Jay Cutler.
Yeah, see, Rush, you talk about crossing that line. I don't know if you guys seen it, but that gentleman from Clemson uppercutted that player from NC State. I was like, I guarantee the Lions, he's going to be on our team next year. You know, we like that type of stuff. But But, T, well, I want to ask you before we move on, you know, the worst dancer in the NFL, the wide receiver on our team from UCLA, do you think this is an opportunity for him to step up with Nate Burleson being down?
Absolutely. I think this gives him his time to shine fine. And also Ryan Broyles, who's been out with a couple ACL injuries. I think he had a really good skill set before he got injured. So I think he can actually turn into a pretty good possession receiver for us. But it has to come from everyone. Reggie Bush in the passing game, you know, the tight end from UCLA, and also Brandon Pettigrew, man. I mean, at this point in time in his career, you know, he has to get over the hump. He has to step up and actually be the first round draft pick that we drafted him to be.
Yeah, he just starts to anger me completely. But see, Rush, I want to end it on this question, and I want to talk about Bale, our running back, and I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong. See, Rush, and Bale, he tore it up. He caught some passes. He took some contact. He was real physical, and he ran guys over. You know, last week I said on the show, I don't know why you're throwing to this guy because he can't catch. Now, let me ask you this, C-Rush. Was the difference this week that he knew he was the starter and Reggie Bush wasn't playing, so he was more focused? And because last week, C-Rush, he looked like he couldn't play in the CFL.
You know what? I think that when you take those first-team snaps, you're mentally prepared. You know, if I'm playing quarterback and I'm behind Tom Brady, I'm not watching film. I'm not doing nothing. I'm just going, hey, if I got to get out there, I got to get out there. But when you know your number's up, you got to focus more. And that's why we see the difference in this, you know, because if he failed, they would have activated LeSure this week. So now he's earned more reps and more trust from the offensive line, from Matt Stafford especially, and from the coaching staff. So I expect him to come out here and be focused every week now, because now, hey, Reggie may not be here week 12, week 15, or whatever. So he's going to be focused, and it's a bright spot for somebody who runs hard within our organization.
You're right, C. Rush. I mean, because I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong, and I ripped him last week because I thought he was terrible. I'm like, why does Stafford keep checking down to this guy? He can't catch at all. Well, all right, I mean, it's going to be a good game, and I think we have an opportunity to show if we're contenders or not against the Bears at Ford Field. I really do believe that. All right, guys, we're going to jump into the freestyle. Two up the bat.
T-Will.
T-Will up the bat? Okay.
Yeah, we'll give it to T-Will.
I think you're right.
All right, T-Will, we'll start with you on this one. The wide receiver for the Ravens, he was on a party bus, man, and a stripper hit him on the head with a bottle. Now, it was about 3 in the morning. There was a little chaos on the party bus. Now, thumbs up if you think that's okay, stuff happens, or thumbs down if you think his butt needed to be at home somewhere.
First off, man, giving a shout out to my guy Chris L. Davis over at the agency, man, getting it done, man. He is getting it done, my guy. Fine, I gotta go thumbs down, okay? Reason I say this, yes, guys, off season, guys can have fun, this, that, and the other. Guys, you're in season, okay? And for him, especially, he's out nursing the injury, fine, okay? So he shouldn't be doing nothing. So he's on a party bus at 3 a.m., but he's supposed to be somewhere getting some treatment, getting some stim, because he can't help his team on the field. But he can help some strippers at 3 a.m. Nah, he need to be at home in bed, guys. He need to be at home in bed. I don't know. I'm not going for that one. Thumbs down all day.
Now, see, Rush, do you think he just came up against a rare stripper in this situation or what?
I'm a go thumbs up, and here's why. You know, at the end of the day, you're an adult human being. You still got to live your social life. You know, it's probably a lot of guys who go out every night to strip clubs, and he just ran across a real tough stripper, you know, whatever the case may have been. But he's not taking treatment at 3 a.m. or anything of that nature. You know, he's probably either playing video games or doing whatever he does, whether it was with a stripper or with an escort. No matter what, it's his business. That's his life to live. You know, it just happened that something crazy happened. He could have been at home and got beat up by his wife. Or if he had one significant other, stuff happens. What are you going to tell him? Leave the house? No. You know, it happens in living your life. You know, you could have a bout of road rage. You can try to stop a slice of pizza from falling, doing some routine. It happens. So you can't tell another man to not live his life, no matter what he likes to do. If he's not breaking any rules, he don't need to be fined or need to be looked down upon.
Now, see, Rush, you bring up a good point. He is a grown man, but I think T really hit the nail on the head when it's just very simple. He should have been rehabbing himself. You can't be on a party bus and you're already on the injured list. Now, I read that as well, like he was injured already, but I mean, that's a good point once you think about it. You're on a party bus and you can't help your team on the field. So I agree 100%. I'm pretty sure he wasn't on the bus sober. That's just my assuming, obviously. But I got to get out on the TV. That's a good point, man. If you injured, man, you need to be rehabbing your injuries or sleep. See, Rush, we'll go to you on this one. And I don't know if you guys saw, but Shaq is going to have a little ownership with the Sacramento Kings. Now, I'm going to be honest, see, Rush, thumbs up if you like it. But if you're with the Sacramento Kings family, you're like, hold on, man. He used to call the Sacramento Queens when he played. Thumbs down if you don't like that.
Thumbs up. You know, I really like this. I like this for a couple of reasons. This is going to help DeMarcus Cousins reach his peak, maybe. You know, who else to take advice from than the most dominant center in our lifetime and maybe of all time? You know, so, yeah, it's a lot of ex-owners who said a lot of crazy stuff, but he was a player then. Now he's in the ownership role. He may bring a toughness to that team, and I really – well, to that player for the most part. But I believe that's the reason why he was brought in there. And as we know, Shaq is a phenomenal businessman. It was a point in his career, even in 2004, Shaq never cashed an NBA check. Never. Everything went to the bank. And he was living off endorsements and other stuff. So you mean to tell me that he's not a smart businessman? He knows what he's doing. You know, now he wants to just put his foot in a game that he loves and to help a organization that really needs it. And after Maluth brothers left, this organization needs some kind of shining light, you know, whether they're getting sent to Vegas, Seattle, wherever, they're staying there. And Kevin Johnson wants them to stay there. Shaq wants them to stay there. And you know what? I want them to stay there. It's good for basketball.
Now, T. Will, how you feel about this situation? I mean, because it was some tough beefing going on back in the day. So, I mean, what you think about this, T. Will?
I got to go thumbs down. Not a big fan of it. For one, Shaq is an entertaining guy. So he just invested in an NBA franchise in the most boring city in the NBA. Sacramento is known as the lamest city with nothing to do in the NBA. Okay, I would have liked it a little bit more if Shaq was maybe brought aboard as a GM or something, where he'll have his hands on something and maybe, you know, work out with the DeMarcus Cousins. Shaq's an owner. Shaq's not working out with no DeMarcus Cousins or nobody else. He's an owner. He's sitting up drinking margaritas, counting his money. That's what he's doing. So, I mean, you could forget about him being on the court showing somebody a drop step. That's not going to happen. Now, I would love to see Shaq in the GM role. I just think a GM role fits Shaq. It fits his personality because he can go really put his stamp on a team or a franchise from a GM perspective. But from an ownership role, you're not going to see too much of him. You're just going to see him sit back and, you know, kind of collecting his money.
That's a tough one. But, I mean, I just think C. Rush edges you out just a little bit because of the simple fact that it's a good business deal. And, hey, why not sit back and drink some margaritas and count your money? So I think it's, you know, C. Rush got a good point there. So I got to get that one to C. Rush. T. Will, we'll go back to you. I want to talk about this last one here. And a lot of people aren't talking about this. I want to see how you guys feel about this one. Now, the addition to Trent Richardson to the backfield of Andrew Luck, T-Will. Thumbs up if you think that they can contend with the Broncos. Or thumbs down if you say they still not there yet.
Well, I think a lot of people are talking about this, fine. But I'm going to have to go thumbs down. I don't think right now they can contend with it. I just don't think they have the rest of the pieces to go with it. Offensively, I mean, you talk about Luck, Trent Richardson, and Reggie Wayne out there. I mean, that's one of the best trios in the business right now, guys. Yeah, absolutely. But to compare anybody with the Broncos right now, I think the Broncos are just on another planet from everyone else right now. And the Colts still have a few holes to fix on the offensive line. More skilled guys at the receiver spot, and also they have some holes in that defense that they need to take care of. Great, they're going in a great direction. That trio is awesome, fine, but no, I don't see too many teams that can contend with the Broncos over there in the AFC right now.
C. Rush, man, I mean, what you think about this situation? Because Richardson, as soon as he touched, he scored from his first touch, man, and they went to San Francisco, made them look like the Jaguars last night.
That's why I got to go thumbs up, because they made a elite team look like, can't say Akron, but look like a football bowl subdivision team. You know, when you got these young guys and they're hungry, they're motivated, they already got a taste of the playoffs, anything can happen once you get there. The same people were saying the Broncos going to have a cakewalk to the Super Bowl. Joe Flacco went up there and won. It's a different game when the playoff times come. Denver has a three-headed monster. I wouldn't even call it a monster. They got three back rotation. When you got a monster in Trent Richardson, you got somebody who's hungry, running downhill like Ahmad Bradshaw, that's tough. That's going to keep Peyton Manning off the field come playoff time, you know? And it's the reason why they got rid of Peyton Manning, because they knew Andrew Luck was coming up. So I think that they can compete, contend, and push come to shove. I think they could beat the Broncos in the playoffs.
Well, here's the thing about this question, and T. Will was saying that no one's on the Broncos' level. And the question was not can they beat them, it's can they compete and can they contend with them. And I got to agree with C. Rush. I think they're hungry. I think you get Trent Richardson, and I think you can compete with them. I don't think that they would just kill them. I think they would be able to compete with them. So I got to get a freestyle to C. Rush. And C. Rush, I'm sorry, I don't have the background music for you. So if you want to get some quick shout-outs, man, go ahead.
Hey, I just want to say it's nothing like doing a show on 7 Mile and bringing it right to the internet through the Samsung Note.
All right. I feel that's you on that. All right, man. Let's go on And T, we'll go to you, man. Let's talk about OSU Wisconsin. You know, let's talk about this matchup and, you know, what we expect to see in this one, T Wheel, under the lights, man, Saturday night.
Well, I think it's going to be a grinded out game. Wisconsin, you know, running the rock, leaning on everyone with those bigs up front, just playing solid defense. Ohio State, man, the last few weeks, I mean, Florida A&M and they blew someone else out, guys. I mean, this is going to be like really their first challenge of the season. So I don't think they're about to go up and put up 50 points, guys. I really don't. Braxton Miller, he will start this week. Urban Meyer already came out and said it. Like, no wondering, no guessing. He's starting this week. So, I think it may take him a little minute to get back into his rhythm fine. But one thing guys got to understand, this Wisconsin team is rolling. That's Wisconsin team is rolling. So, I think they're going to continue to run the rock fine, run down the hill. And this Ohio State team, guys, I think it's going to be a one-possession game, you know, when it comes down to it. I think Wisconsin's going to pull this thing out by a field goal, guys.
Okay. C-Rush, what you expect to see in this one, C-Rush?
You know, Wisconsin's going to – quick question. It's a game at Camp Randall?
I believe this – no, it's at Ohio State. This game is in the
Okay. shoot. Okay. Well, I believe that it'll be a competitive first half. Then Ohio State's going to flex their muscle in the second half. What I really believe is that Ohio State is going to be motivated. Urban Meyer is going to have these guys ready to play. They're not playing. They're not just playing for a Big Ten title. You know, Urban Meyer, he's playing for bigger stuff. He's playing for a legacy, and I believe that's what his kids have taken in, and they're going to put out on the field, you know. Yeah, they did beat up on my Rattlers last weekend, but you know what? They went to Cal the week before and hung a lot of points up on Cal. Now, Big Ten play is different. It's totally different, but they got them at home this week. And I really want to see how Wisconsin comes out and how they make Braxton Miller move in that pocket, you know, because – that play calling scheme that Urban Meyer has, it's a lot of coaches who try to emulate that, but it's really difficult to do that. So I really believe that Wisconsin, they'll put up a great fight in the first half, but Ohio State wins by 10 plus.
Now, see, Rush, I mean, I got to be honest. I know me and you went back and forth in some private text messages. I really like Kenny Guyton. So, do you like to just, hey, get Braxton Miller back, or do you like the fact that, you know, would you like to see Kenny Guyton, you know, continue his hot streak?
Well, you got to put your guy back in there, you know. Whether or not I mean, personal feelings to the side about how I feel about Braxton Miller, you know, he gives him the best chance to win. You know, he was there up under the guy before before Urban, and he was there with Urban. You know, as a quarterback, you got to trust your head coach and to put you back out there, and that's what he's doing. So he's not losing that locker room, and just starting Braxton Miller. So I really like that decision. Even though don't get it twisted, Kenny Guyton did come out and perform very well, but you know, I really think this is Braxton Miller's team.
Now, T. Will, I want to go to you. You the quarterback whisperer. I'll be honest. I'm not going to ask C. Rush this question because C. Rush said that, you know, Braxton Miller is better than Aaron Murray, so I'm not even going to ask him who he think is better. I want to ask you, T. Will, do you like Kenny Guyton or Braxton Miller better?
Well, I'm going to be honest, Fon. When it comes to that, Fon, I don't care about names. I can care less about a name.
Right.
I know a lot of coaches always say, well, you know, you can't lose your starting position for injury or this, that, and the other. Well, I'm really not that guy. You know, my thing is if you come in and you're playing well and you're putting up tremendous numbers, you're going to continue to play. You know, and that's just me, Fon. And I don't see any reason to pull Guyton right now outside of he doesn't have the name and just what Braxton Miller brings to the table as far as his background. You know, I don't see why he shouldn't start, guys. I mean, I really do think, you know, Ohio State may take a step backwards just, you know, even if it's just a few series, you know, for Braxton Miller to try to get on track, you know, get back to game speed, you know, to take that first hit, you know, to really to get that timing of that receiver coming out of that break. So it may take him a few series, and at the end of the game, we can look back and say, you know what, those few series may cost Ohio State the game.
I mean, I got to be honest with you, T. Will, I agree with you 100%. That's, I mean, if one of my kids' ankles go out and somebody else come in and play better, when the guy come back, I mean, hey, you gotta get that position back. But some coaches, I hear this all the time, T-Will, he can't lose his position due to injury. I mean, just ask Alex Smith. As soon as he went down, you know, they said go get another jersey. But that's a whole different subject. But see, Rush, I want to ask you this from a coach's standpoint here. I mean, if they go out and lose this game and Braxton Miller is the starting quarterback, I mean, how are they going to deal with that backlash?
Well, it'll be very difficult. And don't get me wrong. Like, when I say that Braxton Miller got his job back, if he's not performing at halftime, Urban Meyer is playing for something a lot more. He'll put Guyton back in the game. You know, so he's going to do whatever it takes to cover his butt on either end that they win this football game. You know, so it'll be backlash if they lose. If he comes out and plays awful, if he come out and play awful, he's going to sit his butt. And that's just what's going to happen. So it won't look like he somehow goofed this up.
Right, but no, what T-Will is saying, T-Will, and T-Will, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but T-Will is saying, why even give it to halftime? Why even give it the first couple series that you can't get back? It may be too late. Now, T-Will, is that what you're saying, or am I wrong?
Absolutely, man. This kid just threw 6 touchdown passes in the first half. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what did he do? What did he do to deserve to go sit down? Not throw 7?
Who was he playing?
He was playing your alma mater, Shane.
I know. I understand that. Exactly. You know, we are the arts, you know, to be honest. I'm an art school.
That's true.
I know.
That's true. But you know what? I mean, my thing is this, man. I got to keep that train rolling, man. I tell Braxton Miller, hey, maybe look, hey, be locked and loaded. Be ready to go. Or if you go down, it's your world, baby. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but I feel like this kid, the last 2 weeks, he deserves a shot at this. You know,
But here's my thing. You see, Rush, and this is why, like, I know it was the Rattlers. But he did throw 6 touchdown passes. A, I think he can throw better than Braxton Miller. I'm just being honest. But what I saw out of Kenny Guyton at California, and I'm not saying Cal is a top 10 team. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is for him to just go to the West Coast and throw that football around the field like that, that's when I was impressed. But you're right. I mean, he threw 6 touchdowns against the Rattlers. You kind of go, yeah, that's what we expect to happen. 76, a zip, or whatever it was. We kind of expected that. But see, Rush, I mean, I'm like T, man. That train is rolling and it's hot. Why would you mess that up?
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out on Saturday. I mean, they ain't playing a rattler, so we'll see. Big shout out to FAMU, man. The March of 100, we back, man.
Yeah, they got that 900 grand though, man. So hey, it is what it is.
They said
sure did.
Yeah,
we are.
The rowing team will be straight for sure. So let's start with our pick'ems and we'll start with this one. But first of all, I want to say, T. Will and I, we both went, 1-2. Sparty kept that defense. Mac Brown kept his job. And we both figured that Auburn spread was a little too high. It was a nasty, wet game out there. I was actually surprised that the score actually got that high with that bad weather. So we went 1-2 and, looking to bring it a little bit better this week. I'm not impressed with my results as of late. So we're going to keep it right here, and we're going to talk about the OSU game. So, T-Will, we'll start with you. They're -7.5 against Wisconsin. Wisconsin should be undefeated, as we all know what happened. They were screwed by the Pac-12 officials. It is what it is. -7.5. Who you got, T-Will?
I'll take Wisconsin plus that 7.5 all day. I'll definitely take those points, guys. And it's been a theme on this show. We've been talking about being motivated all day. So I'll continue with that theme, you know. And this Wisconsin team, being motivated, you know, getting screwed out in Arizona State, you know, out in Tempe. And just the staff, man. The staff coming in from Utah State. And, you know, when these guys played, you know, Big Ten teams, you know, out there and things like that, you know, it was like a big deal for them, you know. So now he's in the Big Ten. So this staff is motivated because week in and week out, when these guys are in conference play, these guys are going to be ready to play, man. I'm telling you, man, he has a really good staff at Wisconsin. They came in, they took the personnel that they had. They didn't change everything up, and they kind of just went with it. And it's working, guys. It's working. And I really do think Wisconsin's going to pull this thing out in the road, man, and get some national attention.
Man, this is a tough one, man. I'm going back and forth with this one, man. I've been going back and forth, but I got to jump on the bandwagon with you, T. I think when we start talking about these Big Ten games, I think these games are going to be close. And that minus 7.5, I think it's a little bit too big. I really do. I got to take Wisconsin. I hate taking road teams because they can be blown out in college sports. But I got to go with Wisconsin as well. See, Rush, who you got?
Give me Ohio.
You got Ohio?
I got Ohio.
Who you got?
All right, see, Rush, we going to go. We got another doozy, man. LSU, Georgia. Georgia minus 3 at the crib. Good luck picking this one.
it can only be. I'm gonna go with the Bulldogs, and everybody know I'm a Bulldog slappy. I love them. Love how the animal looks. And I just love the way that they're playing right now. They're gonna play motivated the rest of the year, simply because how that first game of the year turned out, and they flexed their muscle against South Carolina. They beat up on North Texas, Northwest Texas, whoever it was. And I really think that they're going to come out with and run the ball tough in between the tackles, outside the tackles. Aaron Murray is going to have a great game. And I really think the Georgia Bulldogs will come out on top.
No, Georgia's minus 3. They're at home. They're minus three.
Yeah. Okay, give me minus 3. I don't care.
Okay. So here's the thing. This is a tough one. Do not bet on this one, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now. But I think the difference here, I got to be honest, is going to be coaching. So I got to go with Les Miles on this one. I really do. It's going to be tough to pull it out. But if they want to get back to the national championship game, they have to win games like this in the SEC. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You got to get it done. You haven't even played Alabama yet. So you need to be undefeated once you get to Alabama. So I got to go with my boy Les Miles on this one. T-Wheel, who you got, man?
Man, this is a tough one, guys, and I'm gonna tell you, I think it's only one tougher bet out there, and that's if we had to pick the over/under for this game. So, I'm gonna go with Georgia minus 3, giving up 3 points, and they're playing at home, guys. These two great, you know, SEC defenses. Man, I'm telling you, I really lean towards the best running back in the country, Gurley, you know, at Georgia. You know, I think 3 points is pretty, you know, pretty solid for this game. And I think I can give up 3 points for Georgia, and I can care less how the dog looks.
Yeah, good luck with this one. I mean, this is going to be a tough one. But on the flip side of that, Aaron Murray, hey, if you the man, you need to come out and you need to give it to LSU defense. But I just don't see it happening. But, hey, we'll see. So let's go to our final one. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe this is a Thursday night showdown. We got the two tech schools going at it, T-Wheel. Virginia Tech at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech, T-Wheel, minus 6.5.
My goodness. man. You know what? Give me Georgia Tech minus 6.5, fine. Give me Georgia Tech minus 6.5. I just think their ground game is going to be the difference in this. When these guys get together every year, it's always a doozy. It always comes down to about a one-touchdown game. So give me Georgia Tech minus 6.5.
Give me Georgia Tech as well. After I saw Virginia Tech almost lose to Marshall, it took about 3 overtimes to get them off the field. So I got to go with Georgia Tech. I got to be honest, after what I just saw. See, Rush, who you got, man?
I want to pick Georgia Tech so bad after they went in quadruple whatever overtime with Marshall. I'm gonna go Beamer. I'm gonna go Beamer. Don't ask me why. I just think they're gonna cover. You know, Georgia Tech, you know, sometimes they play up to their potential. Sometimes they have a letdown game where they only score 13 points or 6 points, none but field goals. So I just think that Frank Beamer will get those guys in line, and hopefully he can do, like, unlike Brady Hoke, and get those guys motivated for a good team, and they can play some football.
Yeah, guys, we want to review here. C. Rush was the only one to take Ohio, and T. Will took West. We both took Wisconsin, the LSU-Georgia game. C. Rush and T. took Georgia. I'm going with Les Miles. And the final game, the two Tech teams, C. Rush takes Virginia Tech, and T. Will and I, we're both going with Georgia Tech. And on these pick'ems, I know our records aren't looking too good, but I try to pick 3 really, really tough games. You know, we don't want to pick too many locks. You know, we try to pick 3 really tough ones, and man, I know that LSU-Georgia, I personally can't wait to watch it, but we're going to get ready to close this thing out. C. Rush, man, you have a good one.
had a good one. I'm nervous about my picks now. I wish I could go back and change it, but you know, it's not like doing a show on 7 Mile, man. Nothing like it.
I know that's right, man. T Will, how you feel, man?
Well, you know, I mean, it was a pretty good show, man. But I just can't wait to Peyton Manning get motivated to blow the Colts out in the playoffs. You talk about motivation. The Colts? Oh, he got some motivation. I can't wait to that. I'm hanging on to that one, fellas. I had a good show. Nothing like bringing it from the basement to the internet, baby.
I know that's right, man. But, I mean, those Broncos do look good. They really do. But, we gotta do a show on Saturday, cause we gotta cover, is Kaepernick overrated? And we gotta discuss that. So please tune in. We're gonna have a good one on Saturday. We have to discuss that because I don't know what's going on. I've always felt he was overrated. First game, he comes out and throws for 412, and then he takes a crap on the field the next two games. So, I mean, we got to figure out, is the jury still out or, you know, what's going on there? Because those fans are going to start crying for Alex Smith in a second. But, all right, guys, hey, hope you enjoyed the show. Send us an email, WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com, iTunes, Wilson Rush. And as always, we're representing 7 Mile, and we out.
DJ Clips, Rev City, let's go. They play like the Wilson Rush Podcast. Like a with your host, Wilson Rush. Also with T. Lip, Vaughn Wilson, and C. Rush. What up, Detroit? 7 Mile. Rev City, yo.